Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that actors refuse to use, no doubt, continues. This is the broadcast for May 19th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is Hour 2 of 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we support the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide, the blueprint for liberty. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. You know, when talking about this godless versus godly discussion of the proper role of government, or discussion of our affairs, do we turn to God or turn away from God? That's really the battle point. You know what? It's been so since Cain killed Abel on earth. It's been so since we came down as sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. It was so in the pre-existence before we came here. Biblically, there was a war in heaven over these principles. Do we have agency, freedom to choose, or will we be forced to obey Satan's plan? We follow the Savior Jesus Christ and his plan. But ladies and gentlemen, understand this. Our liberty is at stake. There's no question about it. But when I was discussing this with my dear friend yesterday, Eldon Stahl, he's the John Birch Society Regional Field Director in my area. Great friend, dear guy. I was talking about this idea and this principle, and he said, you know, the loss of our liberties, the attacks on we the people, all these things are really downstream discussions where inseparably connected are the principles that you talk about, Sam, and education. And he talked about education, which, by the way, when funded and carried out wrongfully, it's the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, government education for all, compulsory education. When it's done right, it's the freedom to learn lifelong. Okay, that's the battle point. Well, now there's a headline that says this: abolish the Department of Education, says former Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. She goes on to say that it doesn't serve any valuable purpose in America at all. It's being used as a weapon against the people. And this is the problem, whether it's the FBI, the Justice Department, the CIA, the IRS, the FCC, the DEA, I mean, I can go on, the FDA, right? I can go on forever. These agencies have all literally been weaponized. Now, you can debate who done it. Republicans, Democrats, all the above. You can debate whatever you want to, but at the end of the day, we have got to defund and rein in these agencies. The Department of Education is one of the most guilty because, again, they're the ones that educate the hearts and minds and either educate or indoctrinate, depending on who's controlling the purse strings for funding and then who's at the helm for guidance and instruction, who writes the curriculum, right? And that's really the bottom line. They've weaponized our voting systems against us. But the education department's at the center of it all. If the American people were educated to understand the founding fathers' views, to understand that they've been through this before, that this is nothing new, to understand that we must turn to God or else we will fail. Okay, this education is critical. Dr. Bradley, welcome.
Well, thanks, Sam. As our good friend Kurt used to say, other than that, it's not too bad. We literally, chapter 11 of my book, To Preserve the Nation, is titled Of Education and Freedom. It's a chapter. It's only a chapter. I mean, honestly, when I wrote this book, I was going to turn every chapter into a book. So there's 16 chapters in it. I've been discouraged from that by a number of people. They keep saying, oh, we've got too much to read already. So they've got this synopsis of each of the books that was supposed to be written, and maybe it will be someday, but at this point I haven't had time. But Of Education and Freedom, it is absolutely critical. I mean, there are no ways back but an understanding electorate. Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. And that, it is the true corrective of unconstitutional government. Jefferson said that too. But the point of the matter is that we have let it slip through our fingers. We've gone into a godless education system, the secular humanist religion. Religion. It is a faith-based belief system that has no divine God. But it is a religion. It believes and worships the wisdom of man, and that's as stable as water, I guess we could say. The fact of the matter is that we've turned it over to the humanists, and literally, when I was at the university, we would have search committees where we would look for somebody at a very high level that was going to take a key position in the university. It's shocking to me how we would get the argument from the people on the committee. Oh, this person is such a magnificent humanist. Well, if you'd said, well, this is a great Catholic or a great Methodist or a great Baptist or a great Mormon, whatever, people would have laughed you off the committee. But this faith-based religion of no God has basically taken over every level of our educational system. And here's a quotation from William Foster, who's the head of the Communist Party USA. He wrote a book back in the 30s called Toward Soviet America. He says, the schools, colleges, and universities will be coordinated and grouped under the National Department of Education, da-da, okay, going on, and its state and local branches, oh yeah, your state, okay, your state entity and your local, okay, you get the idea. They had a plan going on. The studies will be revolutionized, being cleansed of religious, patriotic, and other features of the bourgeois ideology. The students will be taught in the basis of the Marxian dialectical materialism, internationalism, and the general ethics of the new socialist society. Present obsolete methods of teaching will be superseded by a scientific pedagogy. Pedagogy is a teaching methodology, okay? So here's the deal. We're captured. Our education system has been captured, and yes, indeed, it's not leading to freedom. America has a godly heritage. It's no longer being taught in our public schools. And the nation's beginning to reap the whirlwind. We're well down the path. And I always tell people, of course, yes, the Department of Education must be eliminated. It's unconstitutional. There's no authority constitutionally for it. None of these other alphabet soup organizations are constitutional either. Food and Drug Administration, National Institute of Health, you can make the alphabet soup as good as I can. Nothing that exists today in those organizations, the Agriculture Department, come on, people. This stuff is unconstitutional, and yes, we need to expunge the nation from that and get the proper role of government authorized and, being utilized again. But the Department of Education has captured us. We have, in violation of the First Amendment, we've got a state-sponsored religion. State-sponsored, it's tax-supported. Hundreds of billions of dollars go into this every single year. So we can vote with our feet. Individually, we can say, I'm taking my child, my grandchild, whatever, out of this indoctrination center. I almost weep every time I see a school bus go by, and it's not because I'm so proud and I'm joyful and everything like that. It's because those tender, sweet minds are being polluted a little bit at a time into good socialists that will deny the existence of our God and will lose the liberty for their children. It's lost a slice at a time. The Gramscian methodology of communism is being, and we could talk about Antonio Gramsci if you want at some point, and his philosophy of a slice at a time communism. But the point of the matter is that's how America is going. And, we do it with a fascist approach here where it's a government-private collaboration, or we do it by forceful Marxist philosophy to begin with. But, yeah, it's well on the way.
Or we do it with spoon-feeding people full of socialism, one little teeny, the medicine goes down with the sugar, right?
You bet.
A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, kind of a thing. Well, it doesn't matter which approach. All roads lead to this godless tyranny, though, doctor.
They do. And if you doubt it, I am not that old, in spite of what you might think, Sam. But you know what? I mean, I grew up in the Leave It to Beaver era and the Father Knows Best. And
I used to think you were
Harriet.
Old until I hit 50. Now I've changed my mind.
Yeah. Well, anyway. I don't need to debate how old you are, Sam. It's like what you always tell me. It's the miles. It's not the. No, let's see. What is it? It's the.
It's the miles. It's the road. It's the load you carry. Part of the deal. Yeah, I'm going to be 56 in a month.
Okay. Well, anyway, I you know, like I say, the era I grew up in the 60s. I got to tell you, something flipped. The switch flipped. My wife and I talk about this oftentimes. I mean. One year, you know, the girls had to wear skirts that touched the ground when you kneeled down, and the boys couldn't have their shirts untucked. The most egregious things that used to happen was running in the halls or chewing gum. You know, I mean, you know, and I maybe I overplay that a little bit. I mean, we had rifle ranges in our schools. We did. In fact, there were more rifle ranges in schools when I was a kid than you know any other. I mean. Of course, I could go out and shoot anytime, anywhere, because, you know, we were out in the wild and woolly west here. But we brought guns to school. We put them in our locker. Some kids put them in the principal's office, I got to admit, but I always just kept them in my locker. So you could go duck hunting before school and come to school, or you could go rabbit hunting after. I mean, nobody was getting shot in schools. I mean, we have abandoned the principles of godliness in the schools, and we're reaping the whirlwind there, too. Sounds like we've got to take
a
break. We
have a teeny bit of good news before the break. Federal judge blocks most of New Jersey's gun laws that are unconstitutional. David Kelly with that, thenewamerican.com. Good for him. Good for the New American. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. Callforcivility.com.
Are you not feeling yourself since getting the jab or the COVID? Are you feeling run down, suffering from brain fog, having trouble staying motivated, or maybe you've packed on a few pounds since getting sick? You're not alone. Millions are suffering from vaccine injury or long-haul COVID issues, but there is great news. My friends over at Global Tech MD have the solutions. Their post-jab supplement package is a doctor-developed protocol to support optimal immune function and to help you start feeling yourself once again. It's time to take back your health. I trust my friends over at Global Tech MD, and you should too. Head on over to COVIDinjured.com and use the promo code THEBIGMIG to get 20% off of your first order of the COVID Health Bundle. Once again, head over to COVIDinjured.com, use the promo code THEBIGMIG to get 20% off your first order. COVIDinjured.com. Ron Paul just wrote a column, Gun Control Debate Ignores the Real Problems. And that's the difficulty that we face. You know what? We're ignoring all the problems by all the debates. All of them seem to be just propaganda. We need education, folks. We need proper education. We've got to jettison government education. Until we start shutting down whole departments, we're not going to get anywhere, doctor.
Well, you're right, but before the break, you brought up something about the New Jersey gun laws being set aside, and you said you wanted to end on good news, but let me taint that just a little bit. The Supreme Court also just recently deflected an attempt to get a stay on the Illinois assault weapons ban. I mean, I'm using the terminology that everybody's going to be familiar with, and it's incorrect in every way, but they deflected that and refused to put a stay on that. And there's, I think, eight other states that have got
And I appreciate that's negative, because I think the court should stand tall and defend the supreme law of our land. But, folks, we also need to learn not to go to the courts for everything. Look, these robed thugs sitting on high, these very few, don't control the whole nation. They don't have the final say on everything like we believe they do. That's propaganda as well. What we need to do is nullify now in our own communities. You know what? Sheriff Richard Mack's Supreme Court case win proves the feds have no authority over the states and or we the people or the counties, etc. And we need to learn not to go to the courts for everything. So it's sad that they turned that down, but we need to learn that we're looking for love in all the wrong places and seeking a wrongful remedy to start out. We don't need to go to them for clarity. We know the Second Amendment says shall not be infringed. What part of that don't they understand? And we know that they have no authority over the states, a.k.a. Sheriff Richard Mack's win at the Supreme Court, one of the greatest Tenth Amendment decisions ever rendered. Okay, we don't need to go to those places for the answers. And so, yes, it's bad that they turned that down, but it's also bad that we go there stupidly in the first place, Doctor.
Well, you're absolutely right. Let me just finish the story a little bit on this, too, because a lot of people have thrown up their hands in despair. Oh, my goodness, the Supreme Court has abandoned us. All the assault weapons are going to be banned and blah, 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 blah. But what happened on this, and if you're reading the story, that's the reason I brought it up, is that the clarity of the issue is not well conveyed in most of the news media stories. I mean, they leave you with that despair. What happened was Illinois put this assault weapons ban up. It was suspended for a while. It was put back in effect. The Supreme Court refused to hear it, gave an unsigned decision that they're not going to put a hold on it. Okay, so here's the deal. There's going to be another federal court, a district court, I think of the 7th District, that's going to be hearing it in June. Okay. So the Supreme Court, I believe, is letting it play through the courts at the different levels without intervening in the the highest level before it's gone through those other levels. I believe that it will be improperly decided in the 7th District Court, and then it will have to go to the Supreme Court. And you're absolutely right, nullification. I just gave a big presentation on Monday night this week on nullification, and absolutely at some point, if you're interested, we could run through that. The minimum amount of time would be 45 minutes, but the fact of the matter is, nullification is a solution, and Sheriff Mack's case is a wonderful thing, but it's been going on since the beginning of the Republic. But what will happen on this assault weapons ban, I believe, is that it will be decided improperly at a lower court, and then it will ultimately end up in the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court always thinks they can give and take, and they're the Lord and Master of all things, and there's nothing in the Constitution that says that. But the takeaway from this, I think, is that the despair that people might have heard or thought in their mind or heart when they heard that it had been deflected by the Supreme Court just this week was that, oh, it's done, we're toast. No. They're letting it play out through the courts, and they will, I think, have a place to play at some point after the June decision that will probably, as again, say, turn out badly. I mean, Washington State has also banned it just recently. I mean, you got the governor in Tennessee that's doing red
flag
laws. Yes,
I just have an update, too. We had a CSPOA board meeting 2 days ago. Bob Songer, key constitutional sheriff in Washington, Clickatuck County, has highlighted that, you know what, there's many, many sheriffs pushing back against this and have declared publicly that they will not enforce a lot of the bans that the whacked out governor up there has put in place. So the battle's on, and we the people need to get behind those who are standing up, that's for sure. But you're right, this is a battle playing out all over the country.
Yeah, there's no question. I think there's 9 states now that have banned so-called assault weapons. What is an assault weapon? I mean, if it has a shiny stock and it has all of the functionality of these that have the more Parkerized finish on them, oh, no, they're not an assault weapon. That's your dad's deer rifle. I mean, the absurdity on cosmetic appearance for these things is absolutely contradictory.
Well, and the absurdity that you can put intention to a device in the first place, okay? It's a piece of metal, all right? There's no intention. Assault is an intention. All right. To me, they're a rape me not or a kill me not. Okay. If we want to talk about intentions, hey, in the hands of the good guys, the intentions are to keep the peace. Okay. But you can't put an attention to a device. People need to educationally understand that reality also, doctor.
There's no question about that. And honestly, every single argument against these things can be deconstructed if there's a willingness to do logic, reason, and intelligence. If you look back at as far back as the Old Testament, the necessity of firearms, no firearms then, but weapons. The fact of the matter is, through the Middle Ages, through the colonial period, through the Revolutionary War, throughout the whole history of the United States, through the Miller case that happened in the 1930s about the Firearms Act of 1934, and the decision basically said if a firearm can be used for military purposes, it's protected. I mean, I'm summarizing, obviously, but it's not far off from the exact wording, and that's the exact antithesis of what they're trying to promote nowadays. I mean, they're a great equalizer. A small, frail woman against a brute of a man. Yeah.
Yeah, if she has a gun, it's a rape me not in that case, right?
Absolutely.
It's a kill me not. It's a stop, you know, okay. But again, it's all about education. I keep coming back to that intentionally, doctor. Now, speaking of education, we educate on the radio every single day, 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. Sean Hannity is now the supposed replacement for Tucker Carlson. Education's going downhill fast, doctor.
Oh, man. Let's talk about this for a second. I think what happened is when they got rid of Tucker Carlson, which I believe, and I said this when the first day it happened, I said it's related to the lawsuit, the Dominion machine case and everything like that. We talked about this a little bit. It was a behind the scenes, a wink and a nod, a handshake and a kiss, and that happened, I believe. It's like them cutting their Heisman Trophy winning quarterback or the best, their home run hitter for the year, or the best pitcher, whatever. These things just don't happen in a real world. And so they fire the guy that's their anchor guy, if you will, for bringing everybody in. So Tucker had a slot in the evening that basically got people listening to Fox. And after that, the follow-on talking heads had basically, they were carried on Tucker's coattails, okay? Now Tucker's gone. Their ratings have gone in the toilet, in the tank, whatever you want to call it. Be a little bit more generic on it. But Sean Hannity's ratings have gone to hell in a handbasket, so to speak. And I think what they're saying is, man, if we can't get the bait in their mouth at this hour, our whole rest of the evening is toast. And other programs have been benefiting from that, from other news stations. But I think what's happening is they're still looking for the formula to get the hook set at that key hour in the evening so that the rest of their programs will have something to ride on. And honestly,
8 p.m. Eastern, ladies and gentlemen.
And people, a lot of people have stopped listening to Sean for a lot of reasons, a ton of reasons. He's a Republican shill. I mean, if the Republicans have done it, he's good with that. Tucker wasn't so that way. A lot of times he was. I admit, Tucker certainly wasn't perfect. But he's a shill for federal police power. I mean, all of these kinds of things that Sean is in awe over. The jab. I mean, you know, now that we're farther down the road, he's kind of, you know, qualified some of his statements a little bit. But he wanted to stand tall and say, "Get the jab, people. Wear the mask." Well, he was for whatever the establishment was pitching, and a lot of people quit listening. I'm not sure he's going to save that hour for them.
Not going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. The new media takes center stage. Liberty Roundtable Live, part of the incredible Solutions in Education on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Rich Johnson. The G7 leaders will welcome Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky to Japan on Sunday. He's now at the Arab Summit in Saudi Arabia. Ahead of Zelensky's visit, the leaders have agreed on some new sanctions on Russia over its war on Ukraine.
One is to really clamp down, to tighten the screws on the sanctions that are already in place by targeting ways that Russia has been able to evade existing sanctions, but then really continuing to increase export control sanctions on the raw materials that allow, as the G7 statement puts it, Russia to build its war machine. The G7 committing to doing more to prevent Russia from obtaining the kind of material it needs to continue the onslaught on Ukraine.
NBC correspondent Mike Memoli at the summit in Hiroshima. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy reports progress in the talks on a budget deal and raising the debt limit. Some Republicans want McCarthy to stop negotiating until the Senate passes the House bill that raises the debt ceiling and makes some big spending cuts. Accused classified document leaker Jack Teixeira is due back in court in Worcester, Massachusetts today as the judge decides whether Teixeira deserves bail. Prosecutors want the 21-year-old National Guardsman to remain locked up before his espionage trial. As we learn that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis plans to make his White House bid official in a few days, what about Vice President Mike Pence? He tells the Fox Business Network he knows the clock is ticking.
I think anybody who's serious about entering the race for the Republican nomination for president would have to be in by the end of June. So I promise you, you'll know our intentions before the end of June.
And now another governor may be thinking again about running.
A time to choose life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin put out a one-minute video of him at the Reagan Presidential Library, not really announcing anything. And one big gaffe in the video, a shot of a fighter jet. A European fighter jet, not American. This is USA News.
As a dentist, I know what my patients are saying during times when they really can't speak.
Mm-hmm.
She says her gums are irritated.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you can do? Absolutely. You can try New Crest Advanced Gum Restore.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, New Crest Advanced Gum Restore. It detoxifies below the gum line to restore your gums back to health in just 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Healthy gums, healthy mouth.
New Crest Advanced Gum Restore. Healthy, beautiful smiles for life.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you test and inject daily, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, education is key. Education about all these criminal agencies and the prosecution that needs to take place. We need Nuremberg trials on just about every topic and every government agency that has gone rogue and become weaponized against we the people, folks. Sadly, Sean Hannity will be nothing but a shill. He won't tell the tale like Tucker did. Tucker doesn't even tell the tale like we do, folks. Some of these hosts may be fine for you to, you know, get your training wheels on. But eventually you're going to have to graduate to the big leagues and talk about things that really matter most, as we do on this radio broadcast. You know what? We need to abolish the Department of Education yesterday. The Republicans have promised it forever. Get it done. Quit talking. Get it done. We've got to absolutely rein in spending. We need to jettison, you know, debt ceiling increase discussions. And we need to absolutely start shutting down government agencies left and right, including the Education Department, the FBI, the CIA, the Justice Department, I mean, the IRS, we can keep going, right? DEA, FDA, FCC, we got a lot of work to do. I'll tell you that right now, folks. But listen to me right now. The great wealth transfer has already begun, folks. As you know, the Federal Reserve needs to be abolished as well. We need to go back to constitutional currency. We've talked about that forever. It's been 100 years in the debauching of our currency method they've used to criminally steal from the American people and commit theft at all levels, from one, creating money out of thin air, to two, charging us interest on it. People should be in prison over that, too, for treason. But nevertheless, it's going to get worse. Ladies and gentlemen, the term is called Fedcoin. and Fedcoin isn't just theoretical anymore. With the dollar, the greenback killer is here, folks. The Blaze actually sent this out, and it's a advertiser for them that highlighted this. But I got a couple of points to make. Then I want to turn this over to Dr. Bradley for clarity and to flesh this out a little bit. Look, the U.S. dollar, is it headed to the slaughterhouse? I think it is, folks. I think they know that their Ponzi scheme is going to be up soon. They can't continue the Ponzi scheme without continuing to expand. They can't continue to expand because the global battle is on. They're sick of U.S. quote supremacy. They're sick of the U.S. hegemony. Other nations are jettisoning. Billionaires are jettisoning the fiat dollar backed by liquid gold or oil. The petrodollar, its days are over. People are turning against it and jettisoning. So they know the Ponzi scheme's over. So they've got to leave the dollar now and go to something else with even more, I don't want to say controls, because in a way it's controls. In a way it's with less accountability. Okay, what will the Fed coin look like? What will it feel like? How will it affect your wealth, your day-to-day finances, your investment portfolio, etc.? Right? Listen to me carefully. The Fed coin underlying platform is able, they say, to process up to 1.7 million transactions per second. You heard me. 1.7 million transactions per second. What they say, 99% of all transactions completing in under a second. Folks, you give the government this and you will have no liberty left. They will control every single thing you think, believe, and do. Americans' digital reset is not happening in a vacuum. Each country is mirroring this and they're taking it global. The global reset is underway, doctor, and I'm telling you right now, it's coming towards us like a freight train. I don't want to be an alarmist. I'm a realist, but I'm telling you, this is for real. Dr. Bradley.
Well, it is. There's multiple aspects of liberty. You know, you have to have your life, which is hard to do if they're at war or if they're killing babies. You have to have freedom of conscience a measure of truth, which if they control the media, you don't have so much. You've got to have control of your private property, which you don't have so much anymore because of the way they, you know, everything from property tax and these kinds of things that they take control of how you can use your property and so on. But one of the things is an economic freedom. Yeah, there's the educational freedom and the ability to know the truth is part of that. But the economic side of it, in the Federalist Papers, twice, in fact, Hamilton wrote that, in essence, a power over a man's subsistence is a power over the man. And this is where we're going with this. And this has been clearly understood throughout all of history. I mean, you look at Pancho Villa 100 plus years ago when he was running around, tromping around Mexico. He closed the people's real independence economically by shutting down all of their access to silver through the rich mines that were in the area. And then he put out a fiat currency. The fiat currency that we've put out through the Federal Reserve for the last more than a century has been taking control of our economy, and we've lost 97 or 98% of the purchasing power of the dollar in that time with the funny money created a whim. It used to be at least a ledger entry. Now it's just a stroke of a key to do it on a computer. This is one more step in that, where they completely control the economy, and they say, "Oh no! I've looked on the Federal Reserve. You ought to go to the Federal Reserve website." And they say, "No, we're not replacing cash. We're just making this available. You know, you can do transactions instantaneously and stuff." Look at. I mean, yeah, maybe I'm old fashioned. I'm a cash and carry kind of guy. But the generation coming up absolutely does everything on their quote-unquote smartphones. And, of course, you know, your smartphone can be hacked. But you can, I mean, they always say to me, "Do you Venmo?" I say, "No." "Oh, why not? I could pay you for this right now." Well, that's the thing, is that the new generation wants to go with pushing a button and going down the road. And so the Fed will say, no, we're not replacing cash. You can still use cash if you want. But the fact of the matter is, as the people get educated into this, they'll make it so convenient. They make it so easy. You know, you go get the COVID shot, you get to have a hamburger or whatever. Come on, it's so easy. It's so simple.
Well, and on and on. You go on an airline and they say, you know what, you can buy snacks or water or this or that, but we're a cashless airline. Yes. And therefore, you got to, okay, that's where it's starting. They're acclimating the people just to say, hey, don't bring cash. You can't use it anyway. They're moving this needle. And what they're going to do is continue. Look, the government, the bureaucrats, the elitists are afraid of the people. That's always been the case. If you look in the greatest handbook for freedom ever written, the Book of Mormon, and a lot of people are saying, I'm not a Mormon, Sam. I know. Don't read it because you're a Mormon. Read it because it's one of the greatest handbooks for freedom ever written. They discuss in ancient America in their civilizations how the lawyers and the wicked leaders who wanted to create a tyranny, they were afraid of the people. But they would always gauge the people to see where they stood on a topic. And if they felt like they could run with it, they would. If they felt like the climate wasn't ready yet, then they would agitate, manipulate, and pervert and educate or indoctrinate to the point where eventually what they had to say would sell, what they had to promote would sell. And they would do this, ladies and gentlemen, over and over and over. That's what's happening now. They're simply saying, well, you can use cash, no problem. But of course, you know, let's try it with the airlines. I mean, that's a unique, limited scope thing. It makes sense. We're just saying that our flight attendants, just they can't deal with cash. They can't make changes. It's just too complicated on the plane. You know, justifiable reasons as they back into this. But eventually they will say, you know what? Most of the nation doesn't care about cash anyway. We're pulling cash. I mean, all the bills are just getting older. They'll let them get older and older to where, hey, you got ripped up 20s or this and that, or, you know, bad, you crumpled. Man, we're just going to remove those from society. People aren't using them anyway. And eventually it's going to be a slow, but it's going to be a change. And eventually they're going to pull the rug out from under you. Write it down and remember who warned you first. Anyway, doctor, I don't mean to derail from your point, but I wanted to highlight that so people understand kind of the historical, the educational, kind of the summary of what happens in societies where people try to create tyrannies. This is what happens.
Yeah, if we won't learn from history, we're going to step in it again. In my book, To Preserve the Nation, Chapter 8 is called Of Money and Economics. And I review some of these economic backgrounds. I review the words of the American Founding Fathers, how clearly they state what real money is. You know, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5 is the power to coin money. Coining money involves stamping precious metals. That's just the definition. The Coinage Act of 1792 clearly defined what a dollar was. It has nothing to do with blockchain, you know, computer entries, stuff like that. The idea of what happened in Germany that led up to the takeover by the Nazis, by the economy being destroyed by fiat money, where they printed money until you had to, well, people got paid twice a day. They'd be at the factory, the wife would run down at noon and pick up the man's money, and they'd run out and buy as much bread as you could because it was not going to be available in the afternoon. This kind of stuff happens over and over and over. A power over the man's subsistence is a power over the man. Hamilton said it. I mean, we could go on and on about this. Tyrants want to control the economy.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment in seconds with Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com.
Matthew 24:24 teaches us that the church is deceived today. Deceived Christians call themselves Judeo-Christians. Around 1900, Jews commissioned the Scofield Reference Bible, which transformed the Jews from Christian killers to the chosen people. Here's the truth. America is in the Bible. Revelation 21. Our form of government came down from heaven. Verse 3. The many Christian ministers at the Constitutional Convention sought God's will. The God-given rights in the Constitution were ordained by God. America is the new promised land for Christian Israel, and Christians are the true chosen people. True Israel is Christian. Listen to Jesus, quote, my sheep follow me, unquote, and, quote, you do not believe because you are not my sheep, unquote. John 10:25-27. The beast has transformed America into the woman mystery Babylon, Revelation chapter 17. For the complete Bible study, write to Christian Knuckles, P.O. Box 210813, Royal Palm Beach, Florida 33421.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, they used to say sound is a dollar, right? Not anymore. Wow. Things are going south in a hurry, folks, and we the people better stand up. We better start using cash as opposed to all these digital ideas, because eventually if we get so many people on the digital, people won't care if cash goes away. But then at first, they won't lock down your money. They'll be very polite. They'll even possibly just put money in your bank account to make you feel good. It'll be much easier if it's digital to do that, don't you know? But eventually, they're going to pull the rug out from under you, and they're going to say, Dr. Bradley, you know, you keep selling your book out there to preserve the nation. Your digital coin purse won't work, sir, for you. You better change your behavior. That's where we're headed, Dr. Bradley.
You know, think for a second, Sam, and I may have some of the details a little bit wrong, but I remember CSPOA put on an event down in Las Vegas. This was in 2012, I believe in January, and there was a big brouhaha over it. There had been money put in at a PayPal account that was seized, maybe I'm using the wrong term.
You've got it exactly right.
Okay, and so PayPal says, no, we ain't going to pay that money out. And there was the whole event depended upon that money. Okay, this is a kind of a lesson, if you will. If it's hiding out there in the ether someplace digitally, you can say, oh, sorry, you can't access it. Okay, and so this kind of thing is the CSPOA found a big stumbling block, if you will, in their efforts. During the break, I went back to the James Madison's Journal of the Federal Convention, Volume 2, pages 542 to 543, August 16th, 1787, Thursday. They debated this issue of the power to coin money. And they talked about unbacked paper money. Okay, they call it emit bills of on the credit of the United States. Oh, the full faith and credit of the United States is behind the dollar, right? I don't have much faith on any of their credit because they have not proved themselves worthy of it. But the fact of the matter is this was debated very openly and vigorously. You know, Butler and Morris and Gorham and Madison and Mason and Ellsworth. I mean, all of these guys were in the middle of it. Randolph and Wilson. I mean, I going through the names of the people. And this idea of unbacked paper money, Mr. Reed said, I think was from Delaware, he thought the words, if not struck out, this unbacked paper money, which is emit bills of credit against the United States, you know, if not struck out, would be as alarming as the mark of the beast in Revelation. And Langdon said, "I'd rather reject the whole plan." He was going to set the whole side, put aside the Constitution, not ratify it, not recommend it, not sign it, if we retained the three words emit bills. So there was a motion for striking it out. They talked about this unbacked paper money in the Constitution Convention of 1787. They knew what was at stake. Okay, now we've been on this stuff for a long time, but they're going to do it even more egregiously with this digital nonsense that's out there that nobody can touch, feel, even think about, and it's controllable completely. So, yeah, we're on a real bad path right now, and we've got to say, nope, ain't going to go there. So I don't know, Sam. I mean, these kind of things, the scoundrels that are in charge. Oh, by the way, the reason the Fed's doing it, because they're losing control of their ability to print money or to create it out of thin air. Other people around the world are getting sick and tired of it. They're going to a real money. Some are saying, let's go to a mix, a basket of things first. But other countries are wanting to do business for oil, for gold. And, man, that, to me, if I were Saudi Arabia, that would be a pretty attractive thing. And so Russia and Saudi Arabia and some of these guys are saying, you know what, we'd prefer to do business this way. And the petrodollar is going to
fall. And you can
on
see why, Doctor, because they want stability, they want accountability, they want transparency, and nothing can accomplish that. Look at the wisdom of the founding fathers. Nothing can accomplish that except for gold and silver, right?
Yeah, you're right.
It's two metals together. Now, I mentioned the Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ, which is the greatest handbook for freedom ever written, by the way. Those of you who are not Mormons, don't read the Book of Mormon because you're a Mormon. Or, you know, maybe you don't even think it's scripture. That's fine. But go read it for its educational knowledge. And I'll give you another example to make the point. In their culture, back in ancient America, this is a real civilization. It's a historical record of their dealings and proceedings with God and man. But I digress, except to say they had a monetary system as well. And their monetary system had gold and silver and a locked relationship between the two. But they also had measures of barley and different measures of grains in theirs, creating even a greater stability in money. And you've got to have precious metal at the core of it. It's the only thing that has all the properties necessary for the medium of exchange. You would say, well, Sam, when you're hungry, you don't need gold and silver. You're right. But when you're hungry, when you travel or portability, you know what? You can't take your 10,000 pounds of wheat either with you if you're going to travel. So the bottom line is you've got to have all these different elements. And our society had gold and silver at the core with a locked relationship between the two. What was it? 1 ounce of gold related to 15 ounces of silver. Those were equivalent back in the Coinage Act. Yeah. The 1792 Coinage Act documented that. All right, now, they had the same things in their own measurements, but they had grains along with it. I think we need to bring back locally, state by state, a system similar. And we need to learn to barter. We need to learn to trade with one another. We need to learn to hold the commodities or the metals in our hands, ladies and gentlemen. And I know this digital thing sounds tempting, but I'm telling you, you will eventually give them central control, and it will be disaster for anyone who believes in liberty, or more importantly, anybody who will not deny the Christ, Doctor.
Okay, there's a lot of things that we could talk on what you've
just
brought
Sam
up.
Yeah, Sam always opens up a can, doesn't he?
Article 1, Section 10 says specifically, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, okay? It's already in the Constitution. If you go back and look at the Coinage Act of 1792, they defined the mix of different metals and their purity. I mean, you know, obviously if you use pure gold or pure silver, it's a very soft metal, and it wears out very quickly. They put in hardening to be able to make it so that it would have durability. But you talk about this linkage to grain, to food. Interestingly enough, for example, a dollar is defined as 371 1/4 grains. Well, in the Coinage Act of 1792, it said 371 4/16 grains, pure silver, or then at 415 grains of standard silver. That's the hardening element that's been put into it. Okay, so grains, what the heck is that? Originally, it was the grains, like wheat grains, barley grains, okay? That is what it so in a very real sense, we in the United States have a definition of money that goes back to foodstuffs. Okay, now, Jefferson was the Secretary of State at the time the Coinage Act of 1792 was passed. He and Washington had kind of poked to the and kicked and jabbed and cajoled the House and the Senate to finally pass it because it was their responsibility. The Constitution went into effect and was in full force and measure of 1789, and they'd waited until 1792 to create the Coinage Act. But Jefferson wanted a measurement criteria that was available and in the hands of the common man. This was not something that in Tennessee you had to go back to the Bureau of Weights and Measures and get a yardstick that was made out of platinum that you could measure your stick against and find out it was a yard. He tried to use methodologies that would allow people in the most hindermost points of the United States to be able to have control of their own lives. And so it's interesting how this grain thing, a dollar is 371 and a quarter grains of pure silver. And so, yeah, I believe the United States had a tie back to the foodstuffs also. And that's still what a dollar is. And these Federal Reserve chits or whatever the heck you want to call them that they're going to put out there are just funny money. And the Article 1, Section 10 says specifically, it mentions gold and silver. I mean, we have the basis to stand on if we know how to do this.
Well, and that's where we're talking about education, ladies and gentlemen. Look, just so you know, there's 50 grains in a gram. In a troy ounce, there's 31 point something grams in an ounce. Okay, you've got to understand these measurements, and you've got to make them solid, and you've got to lock the relationship of these things. Otherwise, you don't have an appropriate way to trade. And you could say, well, what about when silver goes up and down a little bit, or gold, or grain, or this or that? This is to prevent those small changes based on, you know, hey, you have a bad crop, grain may become a little more expensive. In order to create a stable trading arena, to have value versus value, labor included, you've got to have standards that you can count on. And that's what this education needs to be about. If they move to a digital currency, you won't even have the dollar in your hand standard anymore. They can literally change it by the second. Okay?
They can literally
manipulate it by giving me access and Scott no access, or vice versa, with a click of a button in seconds. You think you've been kicked off Twitter? Just imagine being kicked off your bank account, doctor.
Well, that's exactly right. And the problem is that this ties so easily into the social score that China uses. You know, if you can't buy your food or pay your rent or warm your house with heat of some sort that you've purchased, all of these things can be withheld from you if everything goes digital. And there's a true effort right now to destabilize our economy even further. Like I say, in the last 110 years, we've lost, 97-98% of the purchasing power of the dollar. That's not because anything's worth anymore. I mean, a loaf of bread's still a loaf of bread, an ounce of gold still an ounce of gold. But we've been polluting our money system with this expansion through the printing
and this
presses.
Is their only way to keep the con game going, to move to this digital currency, as they claim. It's their only survival mechanism. Otherwise, the con game, the jig is up.
Yep. And, you go to silver. It's gold or silver will not lose. Now, of course, obviously, at some point, if there's nothing to eat, and in this, you can go back to the Old Testament and read about how pigeon poop was selling because it gave you something to put in your stomach. But the fact of the matter is, until that point comes, gold and silver have millennia of history where you could say, okay, that has retained its value. Jefferson talked about it not dying in our hands. Paper will die in your hands. These digital currencies will die even more quickly. You won't even have a piece of paper that says 1 on it or 10 or whatever. And if you can't get it in your account, and it's just a digital something there that just poofed
on. And if an EMP hits, none of you'll get to your digital assets. I can promise you that. You'll have a digital wallet that's gone
empty.
Missing forever.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, education is the key. The rejection of the godless communist cabal tyranny is the key. Trusting in Jesus Christ, our Savior, I testify, God Almighty is the solution. It is about God, family, and country. You want to learn to preserve the nation? FreedomsRisingSun.com. You want to stand for the sacred cause of God, family, and country? Fund LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, BrightyOnRadio.com, and more. God save the Republic of the United States of America. We declare this nation shall endure.